Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the latest episode of Ear to Ear Podcast with C-Ray and Laney Moe. As always, I'm C-Ray, the dashing fellow over there, Laney Moe. How you doing this evening, Laney Moe?
What's up, my brother? How you doing? Good.
Man, it's another day in paradise, but wasn't a great weekend for us. I guess before we get into the crap we don't want to talk about, there's a couple things I do want to talk about. First off, the coal rush. Let's talk about that. That was a big thing. There was a lot of hype about that. The night obviously didn't turn out what we wanted to. But I thought overall it was pretty cool. I'm going to be honest. I wasn't a big fan of the jerseys. I got the chance before the game to get up and close and personal with somebody on the team that was wearing one. And I just wasn't real – I don't know. It just didn't do much for me. There was a lot of people that were like just, you know, lusting over them. And for me, I was like, they're okay. I wasn't a huge fan. What I did like was the way they incorporated actual coal miners into this week. I had a couple of videos on Twitter that had some miners in it, the whole miners being on the field in the pregame and being able to be honored in the end zone. You know, because if we're going to, you know, honor coal, as that's pretty much what we did with that industry and everything, the people that are kind of putting their lives on the line every day to do that job should be involved. So shout out to all those guys that do that job. And, you know, I wasn't the biggest fan of the whole thing, but I did like the way it turned out. So kudos to the university on that. Thought it turned out pretty good. What'd you think of it?
I like the message behind it. That was the biggest thing is,
right.
You know, I mean, this state we live in, it's, that, I mean, that's what's instilled in the bloodline of the state, the coal. In the coal industry, and you know, coal keeps the lights on. Coal doesn't quit. Very much true. Our nation cannot survive without it. Try it. We'll see how long that lasts. But anyway, the uniforms were, to me, awesome. I mean, it to be what they were. I really liked them. The reflective, the you know, the contrast of it, and everything, and what it meant for the. You know, the like safety reflective logos, and I mean the numbering and stuff like that was cool. I think that you know, we struggled to realize and we couldn't like guard anybody that was wearing the other collar anyway, but it was a difficult game, and we'll talk about that here in a second. But the whole message and very much branding was awesome with it.
Yeah, I agree. Another cool thing, and first time ever, I've never even seen one. I didn't even know this was a thing. The drone show. I mean, I thought that was neat. Some people are like, "Oh, that's dumb." You know, of course, these were like, you know, people with a mullet and a beer in their hand. I'm like, come on, man, that's kind of neat. Like, it was cool. I'm sorry, I thought that was a cool thing. I had never seen one before, so it was the first time I didn't know it was a thing. So I thought that was a pretty neat thing. But
I was pleasantly surprised by it. How it wasn't just flat. How they would rotate, and you know, I mean, there was a lot of effort put in by whatever company started doing that is way above, you know, technology wise that I can even, you know, comprehend, but it was pretty awesome. It was pretty awesome.
It was. So shout out for that kind of stuff. I guess let's get into the stuff that we know we're not going to want to talk about. It wasn't, you know, I hate to say it, but history kind of kept the trend in Neil Brown's tenure. We go down last night, 28-16. Not much positives coming out of it, in my opinion, after the first drive. You know, Green going 18 of 32, he had 200 yards, and he had one touchdown that really came in trash time. And he had two picks in the game. But honestly, you know, it's the same story we've seen for 5.5 years. We lost to another good ranked team that's above 500, that team with a pulse, a team that's ranked, usually ends up being an L for us. I don't really know what to say or where to go. You know, the defense wasn't good. The offensive line, you know, wasn't great. Apparently, one of the stats from the game was our running backs were met half a yard downfield, half a yard by the defense. So the offense, just the offensive line not doing great. You know, Yates having the whatever issues was going on with his hands. I think that's Yates, right? I always get him mixed up.
Yeah.
Green threw into double coverage multiple times. You know, the fact that he come out with only two picks, in my opinion, is kind of lucky. Play calling was meh. At this point, to me, Laney, I'm kind of defeated. It is what it is. You know, I don't know why. I don't know how there's anybody else out there that still believes in this staff and administration. But I don't know, man. Let's start with the game. Fire off on it. What'd you think?
One of my biggest things that from the start, I mean, it seemed a great first drive. And I think that drive was the only one that didn't have a bad snap. Maybe. I mean, it felt like any time that any type of momentum offensively started going, bad snap. Green was constantly, I mean, every time he jumped for the ball, physically jumped for it.
Yeah.
And I think three of them actually hit the ground. He picked up and tried to do something with it. It all starts with a snap. Nobody can do anything till the ball snapped. So when you get a bad snap, that instantly throws that whole playoff 1-2 seconds from the beginning. Right. So, you know, it's hard to get anything even started with that. And it was all night long. It was all night.
Yeah.
And, you know, Brown commented that Yates had a, you know, bandaged hand or hurt fingers or something.
Yeah.
Either get it right or take his ass out of the game and put somebody else in so they can snap the ball.
Well,
if you can't do your job, somebody else needs to do it. And you know, as a coach, that's there lingering. Fix it. And the way you fix it, and I'm not saying, you know, he's a bad kid or not, he can't snap. If he's not able to snap correctly, somebody else needs to do it. That's why you have a backup.
Well, I think that's the problem. I think that's the problem is we didn't have – in my opinion, Brown must not have had any faith in whoever the backup center is supposed to be, or we don't have anybody that can jump in and play that spot if we need to. So the big question to me is, well, what if Yates goes down with a legitimate injury where he cannot play? What if he breaks his freaking ankle or something like that and he can't play? What's going to happen at that point?
He's been down for multiple series throughout the year, and you know, and the backups came in.
Yeah, you know what? That's a good point. So, good call. So it comes back around to why did Neil leave him in there for the entire game?
Yeah,
I don't know. And it's just, no, I agree.
I don't get it, but. Momentum wise, we fell right into Iowa State's plan. We played right into
it. Oh, yeah.
Right into it. And damn, they're good. They are not a team that's going to blow anybody out. And like we said before, they just constrict.
Yep.
And there's a thing that I heard in a blue lot after the game. We're sitting there talking. And some guy made a comment. And he's like, good teams don't make mistakes. Or very good teams learn how to play through mistakes.
Right.
You know?
And we don't do either of those. We either make mistakes, or when we do make mistakes, we can't get back on track after them.
And we and Iowa State did not make one mistake.
No.
And Green threw two picks. They scored off of two picks.
Yep.
Saying we lost by, 18 points, you know? But, you know, the thing was – those, you know what I'm saying? You two scores, that's pretty much the ball game in a weird way. It, you know.
Well, but I know it is.
But
it,
I believe if we played Iowa State here in 3 weeks, Iowa State beats us again. They are a better team.
Well, they are a better team. And the other question comes, what improvement have we seen this year? Green still is not good on the long ball. He still isn't fantastic at the layups. He still is making bad decisions. The guy's a fifth year senior, and he's thrown into double and sometimes triple coverage, trying to sneak a ball in there. He's not good enough to do that. He's not good enough to sneak a ball. He's not accurate enough to put a ball on a pinpoint where he can take a chance to throw into double coverage. And that's what I said last night, him coming away with only two picks, because I think you said it before we got started here. They dropped two others.
They did drop two others.
So
you've been saying it. You've been saying it for basically 5-6 weeks that, you know, Penn State drew a roadmap on pretty much how to play West Virginia. And everybody knows you stop the run, you make Green beat you. He can't, you know,
he
can't. And Iowa State, they disguise coverages like no other. It was amazing. You didn't know if they were bringing people, if they were dropping back, if they were playing zone, there was times where they rushed nobody. I mean, the ball was snapped, and They had three guys at the line of scrimmage just reading blocks. Their linebackers were 9 yards deep, playing forward to cut away any type of slants, and they're playing man coverage on the outside with safeties coming up and daring you to throw the ball over 15 yards.
And
the thing is, he couldn't do it. He could not. No.
He couldn't do it, and here's the other thing about their defense. Because if you look at the yardages, our rushing yardage wasn't terrible for the game.
No.
But here's the thing. They got the stops when it counted, okay? When it was third and five, they stopped us at the two with two left. When it was third and seven, they stopped us with three left. Yeah, we ran a little bit on them. Bad sports caster crap on my part. You know, I didn't take his yards. I think he had like 70 or 80 something yards rushing. So it's not like we didn't have yards on the ground. It's just they're a better team. And when it came time to suck it up and get a stop, they did that both outside of the first drive. The first drive, perfection. Okay. First drive was great. Even the first defensive drive where they settled for a field goal really wasn't bad. But it was like after that, it just, you know, I've come to the conclusion, we've seen this for 5.5 years now. For we are 6 games into our season, and it has been the same. Neil Brown has created a flow chart for a game for him, okay? And here's how the flow chart goes. Are you playing a team that is ranked plus 500 or has a bit of a pulse? If yes, do not pass go. Do not collect $200. You're losing. That's pretty much it. Anything else is a 50-50, honestly. And I hate to be like that because I have wanted to believe for so long, and I'm sorry, I just don't anymore. And until we see something else happen other than what we've seen for 5.5 straight seasons of football, and here's a good example. Here, you know what? Let me pull this graphic up and show you this, Laney. You might get a kick out of this. Okay, so you remember Gomer Powell, don't you?
Yep.
This is Neil against ranked teams through his tenure. And for those of you that are not watching on YouTube and you're listening, we have 2019, 0-4, 2020, 1-3, 2021, 2-2, 2022, 0-3, 2023, 0-2, and so far in 2024, 0-3. So, I mean, it's a steady, consistent thing. That's the only thing consistent about him as our head coach is if we are playing a good team, we're going to lose.
So I'm just going to spit this fact, and it's not taking up for nobody. I'm not burying nobody either with it. We have 3 wins, 3 losses on this year. We have 3 losses against teams that are 6-0. Now officially 6-0 now.
Yeah. 18-0 is what we're playing. It was what we've lost.
Yeah. Against. Yeah. And honestly, keep saying it, the Pitt game was that's out, but Penn State beat up on us, and Iowa State beat up on us. Do we play any more state teams? We got K-State.
We got Kansas State next week, and they're going to be in the top. They're going to be in the top 15 now tomorrow.
Man, I don't want to play more state schools. Penn State, Iowa State's enough. They're enough for me. And we got K-State rolling in here, hot off of a big win.
At BYU.
Colorado.
I'm sorry. I was thinking they're one.
God, thank God we don't play BYU.
Oh, but, my God, dude. Could you imagine? Imagine? But that would not go this year like it went last year.
Yeah.
But, no. I'm sorry. BYU popped in my head for another reason. We'll get to that in a second. But anyway, go ahead.
No, man. It's just one of them things where it's I'm just frustrated with the lack. You see it. Everybody in the stadium sees what's going down, and we didn't like make adjustments. It just seems like we just didn't quite adjust to it, and we couldn't get off the field when they had the ball on third down. It seemed we could not get them, and it seemed like all night long we had third and five, third and seven, third and 12. And I swear, and it was the problem was on second down we didn't get any yards. Our second down plays weren't working for us. So it put us in third and, extended all night. Right. And you were exactly right. And it ended up, it felt like it was just fourth and two, fourth and one, fourth and four, you know, and it just, we didn't get a bounce our way. We threw two bad interceptions. And Neil went in on the officiating, and it was bad. We did not get a call our way, and the game changed. There was a couple, not pivotal points, but things that didn't happen for us. They call holding in the end zone on us on a third and like eight. You know, and they get the ball that automatically puts the ball at the 1 yard line.
Yeah.
And the next play later they punch it in. So that changed the game from being, you know, a 3 point, them getting 3 points to them getting 7 points out of that mess. And that's ridiculous to throw that flag. You know, our guy was not impeding him from doing much of anything, you know, and they held. Iowa State held all night. Their offensive line held all night long.
Yeah. And it was bad. The refs this year are just incredibly inconsistent at everything. And like, and it's not an easy job. We get that, right? But it's also, there needs to be some sort of standard these guys adhere to. And I don't know if there is or not. Maybe there is. I don't know what kind of repercussions they for really dropped balls, you should, you know, to say.
You've never seen a referee take a podium after a game.
Well, that's true. Maybe we need press conferences.
I mean, for real. You never hear about them getting reprimanded or whatever. What the worst thing is when a flag's thrown and they have their little
call. And they have a little circle jerk there and in the middle field trying to figure out what.
And then they say there was no flag on the play. It's like, then what the hell are you watching? Because not only did you mentally say there was something going on, I should throw a flag, you physically reached for it and threw it.
Yeah.
And to have somebody else come to you and say, hey, C-Ray, what'd you really see there? I don't know.
I thought I saw this, so I threw it. So, but did you see it? Well, I thought I did. Okay, we can't call that.
Yeah, that's – and I'm not in their shoes, so I don't know. I don't know what gets seen there or what makes somebody else to have them change it. But it's like, let's be real. I mean, I don't know, man.
I agree. I think there needs to be held to a higher standard, I guess.
Yes.
A standard. Doesn't have to be a higher standard.
Just a standard.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know, man. Looking ahead to K-State, it's a loss. We're going to lose. They're ranked. They're a good team. They beat Colorado this past week. Their one loss on the season is BYU, who I think we all can agree right now is got a really damn good chance at winning our conference. I mean, they're playing better than anybody thought they were going to. And like you said a little bit ago, I am very happy that we're not playing them.
K-State could empty out the stadium.
K-State's going to do exactly what Iowa State did. And Iowa State did exactly what I said. Well, what we talked about a little bit ago. They shove everybody to the box. They shut down the run game. They're playing their guys up. They're daring Green to throw a slant because they know he can't do it. They're daring him to go long because they're not even guarding long because they know he can't do it.
And if he catches it, it's okay. We'll give up the 8 yards.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
If he does make one, fine. We'll give up a first down here and there because guess what? Do it again because you can't do it again, okay? So, in K-State, they're going to come in here, they're going to do the same thing. And I'm telling you right now, their quarterback, in my opinion, is better than Iowa State's quarterback, okay?
Yeah.
He's going to come in here, he's going to tear apart our secondary, just like Rocco did last night. It's going to be another bad day.
When I say K-State could empty the stadium, this game could be out of control quickly for our defense. And if we don't move the ball – and our defense doesn't do too much. This is a blowout. When I say blowout, this could be a 51-17 ball game because K-State will run it up, and they have the athletes to do it and the defense to shut somebody down.
Yeah. Well, and they have the defense to shut somebody. The offenses that have gone up against K-State this year that are a one-sided offense have not done well.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, they beat up on Oklahoma State pretty bad, but who's not beating up on Oklahoma State these days in the conference, at least? But it's I'm not looking. Their defense is better than a lot of people give it credit for. You know, a lot of people were talking about how Rocco Becht isn't really that great of a quarterback. Well, I think he proved last night, you know, well, they haven't played anybody. Well, okay, right as of right now, aside from Iowa, we are the best team they've played. They didn't really seem to have a whole lot of trouble moving the ball on us in the air, on the ground. And I'm telling you right now, Kansas State's not going to have any issue with it. And if we don't
– they're not – you know, Iowa State's not – the way their offense is built, Rocco just has to just stay out of trouble. He makes the throws he needs to make, throws it deep enough, hard enough, fur enough to keep you honest.
Yep.
He's very good, very good at the 6 to 12, 15-yard passes.
Yeah.
And he can move enough to keep the play alive and get away and extend it and live to play another day.
And that shifty, you saw their shifty running back. Do you see how quick he was on a switch in direction, dude? It was impressive to me how he could – I mean, he was going this way. I mean, he could change direction on a dime. It was hard. It was hard for us to tackle him.
The one that hurt us was number 26. he looked like he had a little bit of size to him, like 220, 215 pound running back. And he thumped a little bit. So they did have a thunder and lightning duo, kinda, you know. But the little scat back, there was times he'd just get behind the line and just kind of wiggle and fall forward for 4 yards, you know.
I saw a couple times he had hop to the right, left, hop to the right, back to the left, and then get 5 or 6. You know, I mean, it's just that, and that's all you need. You only need 10 yards at a time. You only need 10 yards at a time. If you can get 4 to 6 on one run, that's more than, you know, that's half of it right there. So, I don't know, man. I hate being so negative. I was talking to a guy here, last night at the hotel we were staying at, and we were talking about the fans and where we draw the line with, is it worth it anymore to come to games for those of us that drive? Okay. I mean, you know, take me for instance, and I hate to be like this, but like at this point with the way the season looks like it's going to finish, if Neil Brown's our coach next year, it's highly possible I'm not coming to games. I mean, I look at what I put into it. It's as investments from a fan standpoint, okay, our investment is coming to games, okay? And for me personally, that's season tickets, that's a silver lot pass, that's a hotel room, that's meals, gas, my time traveling from Charleston to Morgantown. You know, it's a multi-$1,000 investment for me through a season. And it's for a ton of people out there, it's way more than that. And for some people, it's less. But our investment as fans is what we put monetarily into the school. And the return is to win games and to be somewhat relevant in a college football conversation. And we are not in that point anymore. We're an irrelevant program now. We're not considered in any kind of conversations that are positive anymore in the college football world. So me and this guy's talking like, where's the line, right? Where do you decide, okay, hey, is this worth me driving 2.5 hours from Charleston every weekend or six, seven weekends a year, you know? And for me, that line is here. I'm at the line this year. And it's I hate being like that because I have only missed one game since I was 18 years old, Lanny, you know, and the anniversary of that day is coming up here in a couple weeks. It's the only game I've missed since I was 18 years old. But it hit me on the way to Morgantown here this past Saturday. I wasn't excited. I was driving to Morgantown for a WVU home game, and I was not excited.
That's true.
I was excited to see you. It is my own fault. It's my own fault because of what I expect out of the program.
Well, it's bad. It's bad whenever you're setting yourself up for a letdown.
Well, see, I set myself up for a letdown.
That's where it's bad. Well, you're just coming up because it's like, I already got the tickets. I already got this. I already got that. I'm saying it's
– Well, yes and no. You know, I mean, I do get a good time out of coming to the tailgate with you and hanging out with you and seeing the guys there and the couple people I hop around the blue lot and see. Don't get me wrong, but guess what? I can come up to Morgantown. We can play a ground of golf any damn time I want. I don't have to come to a WVU game to see you. I don't have to come, you know, some of the guys that I hang out with in the blue lot live here in Charleston. I can go see them down here in Charleston, right? So I'll take some of the responsibility of not being excited about it, but I'm not taking all of it because I don't necessarily come to Morgantown to go to home games to see people in the blue lot. I go to see home games because I enjoy watching the games in person. That's why I pay for season tickets. If I just wanted to come to the blue lot and hang out, I'd save the thousands of dollars on the freaking tickets, the thousands of dollars on the freaking parking pass, and would just go hang out in the blue lot all day.
I'm really concerned with the fan base as far as you just hear when West Virginia loses now, are we at that point where it's well, it's what we do, you know?
You know what's really bad?
That's you know, it's almost expected that we'll show up and then walk away with an L. And that's bad. That's really bad that you just get the shrug and yeah, we lost to another ranked team and we can only beat on teams that's below us or whatever. It's, you know,
below 500.
Yeah, and it just sucks that way because I just think we could be so much better as a program. I really believe that.
Well, we could be, and we have been in the past. So, I mean, everyone says, well, we're just in a bigger, better conference. We were in this conference with Dana as our coach for 8 years. We had excitement. We had winning seasons. We, you know, when Dana was our coach, and I'm not saying this because I want Dana back. I'm saying this because this is a fact. When Dana Holgorsen was our coach, that anytime we stepped on a field against any opponent, when he was our coach, I felt we had a chance.
I didn't feel that way.
I did. And he had, I mean, he had wins to prove it. Now, I think the thing with Dana was, I guess, you know, at that point, we still had the expectations that we had from Rich Rod, right?
Yeah.
And that's kind of the thing. As we've gone through coaches since Rich Rod, our expectations have come down on what we expect out of the program.
Well, everybody thought that to an extent that Holger, they hoped that Holgorsen was a second coming of Rich Rod. That's what the glimmer of light was, that he's the next up and coming young guy, came from here, offensive minded, light up the scoreboard, play, you know what I'm saying? That's what they hoped. They hoped that they were going to get the next, you know, Rich Rod. And I think with Neil, you got the next Don Nealon, you know. Very, 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 very conservative individual. You know, spoke what, you know, well spoken, considering players do like him.
Yeah, but the difference is Don Nealon won games, didn't he? Now, keep in mind, now listen to me. Those of you out there listening, keep in mind, I'm only 34. So I was born in 1990. So when Nealon was going out, I was like, you know, I was relatively young. But let me ask you a question. And this is a good, interesting thing to maybe look up. Maybe I'll do it while we're sitting here and you're talking.
Okay.
You answer this question for me while I look this up.
Please.
Did Nealon not win games?
No.
Okay.
No. Nealon was I'm wanting to say his average win total was 6-7. About every 2 years, 3 years, he put an 8-9, went undefeated twice. I think only won, 88 and 93, went undefeated, and something ridiculous, 12 straight bowl losses in a row or something.
Okay.
Did he, you know, through time, can you consider him a winner? Yeah. Did he win anything? No.
Okay,
Nealon put West Virginia on the map as far as, you know, he had some, you know, standard, I mean, great wins, you know, very good seasons, but West Virginia was not, you know, highly, about every 4 or 5 years, he would get that very, very, very good team that would get into the top 10, you know, but it was, I mean, I'm not looking at stats, and I never have looked at his stats, but to me, as being, you know, I'll be 46 years old and grew up in my season tickets, you know, it was he should have won a lot more because he sat on the damn ball and got beat probably 40 times in his career when he had leads going into the fourth quarter and couldn't hold on to him.
Oh, well, he does sound like a lot like Neil.
You know, and dude, I'm telling you, Neil Brown's got a lot of Don Nealon in him.
And well, I think in Nealon's first 6 years, he had 6-6 in his first year, and then he goes 9-3, 9-3, 9-3, 8-4, 7-3. So, I mean, it seems like he started out pretty strong. Now, that was in 81, I'm not even sure what conference we were in. Like, I mean, were they in the Big East Conference that early? Yeah. Talking about 80, 81, 82. I wasn't even born yet. Okay.
Well, I think it was like, I don't know if we're Big East, but I think we might be independent.
Yeah. Okay.
And then the Big East came
around. But at West Virginia, he was 149 and 93.
What's that? 65%?
I don't know. Can't do that kind of math.
You know? Yeah.
Hold on. I'll tell you in a second.
Better than Neil. So.
62%.
Yeah.
62%. Better than Neil. So, you know, Rich Rod. Okay. So Rich Rod comes in. He kind of. Don Nealon puts us on the map. Rich Rod comes in, carries us to national relevancy.
Yeah.
Dana keeps us in national relevancy. We didn't win anything huge with Dana, but we were still a nationally relevant team. We were still in relevant conversations. We were still a respected program. So I guess my question is, why are we continuing? The big rumor that I hear is, even at this point, there's not much of a chance of Neil Brown being gone this year.
No way in hell.
So why are we as a university continuing to accept that mediocrity? Because, you know, when Dana Holgorsen's last year here, the expectation was 10 wins. He got 8 and we let him go. This year we're praying for 8 so Neil can keep his job.
You're still getting what you pay for. You're still getting a bottom line good deal. If college football, I don't know if me you really had this conversation. College football, it's $1 million a win, and we've touched
on this conversation.
You know, and the guys who are winning, getting paid $12 million a year to win 12 games, it's what they're doing. You're paying Neil Brown 4; he's giving you 6 or 7. Worth every penny of it.
Well,
I don't agree with that. Because West Virginia, we're not ever going to pay $7 to $8 million a year.
We're not. You're right. You're not. But every other coach we've hired here in at least in my lifetime that has been hired new, that has not already here, which is Rich Rod, Stu, kind of by default, if you want to count that. We know the Stu era was a bridge. That doesn't count.
And Dana. Yeah.
Huh? Okay. Yeah. Rich Rod could always manage to have some good seasons and get some big wins and get some good bowl wins. Dana managed to have multiple double-digit winning seasons. Well, now, one of them was with a team that he inherited. That's fine, whatever. But he still had he had all winning seasons except one, if I remember right. He got some bowl wins. He had some bad bowl losses too. Give him that. Every other coach has been able to get there at some point. Every time Neil has a chance to get there, he shats the bed. So when is it enough?
This year, it's well, man.
I'm not saying that your argument of this is what you're paying for. That's fine. So then it is.
But I'm saying this year, one game, the Pitt game's effing killing us right now, because there's a huge difference between being 4-2 and 3-3. You know, that's where it is. That's exactly where this is. Right now, we should have never lost a damn Pitt game, and this conversation here is not happening. And, you know, it's just one of those things where, because, man, it just kills me. He ain't beat nobody. That's one of my biggest gripes with it is he hasn't beat nobody, and he's had the opportunity. And
but that's my point. That's what I'm saying. Every other coach here in the last 20 years has been able to beat somebody. Has been able to get a signature win, has been able to have a signature season, has been able to get to a good bowl and get a good win. We're on year 6 now, and it's unfolding exactly like the previous 5, and we've made zero progress as a program. If anything, it's possible we could take a step back this year from last year. So when does it end? When are we finally like, okay, he's not the guy?
I don't know. I mean, honestly, I don't know where the athletic department's setting at on that, or if there's, you know, more of a I just don't think you tear the foundation. I don't know when you rip the Band-Aid off and put another one on.
Well,
or what you have to do. I think Neil can coach. I really believe that Neil can coach. It's just the fact of the matter of when he puts it all together. I don't know if it's worth another 1 year, 2 years, or what they're feeling where he's at with it, you know. But it's, you got to win. You absolutely have to win. And he's running out of chances to do that. And, you know, as a Mountaineer fan, as a fan, we had everything we wanted. If you had any gripes about going into yesterday's game, you're out of your mind to complain about it.
It was a golden opportunity.
Absolutely.
That almost any coach in our recent history would have capitalized on, and Neil Brown folded, as he does every time he plays a good team.
I think what are you supposed to do? They're a better team, Corey. C-Ray. They're,
oh my God, team. You used my real name on here.
They're a better team. Iowa State is a better team.
Yeah, they are a better team.
And I don't know if any other coach comes and coaches WVU's players and beats them. You know,
I agree to disagree on that point because WVU has built its pride and its history on being the underdog that manages to get those wins. We've been able to do it for the last 30 years, and we don't do it now.
I don't know.
That's it.
I know it's not happening. I know happening. And the only thing we can do is, you know, hope. What I'm saying, he's going to. There's still a lot of football left. I mean, there's six more games left, and you know, this team's got to get something rolling here, very, very soon.
They have a chance this weekend. Let's go ahead and cover that. Going to Kansas State, or not going to Kansas State? I mean, going into the Kansas State game. Kansas State's obviously going to Morgantown, another night game. Nothing special about it, you know, as far as any kind of uniform or anything like that. Look, they got a good QB. They got a good running back. They got a good defense. They're a solid team. They're a good team. It's week six. Okay. Everybody's masks are off at this point in the season. You know, who's who, you know, who's good, who's not after six games in the season. Kansas State's a good team. They're probably going to be, I know the rankings come out today. I haven't looked at them.
They'll probably be 15.
Well, I think they were 17 or 18, going into the Colorado game.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, probably 15, maybe probably around 15. That's probably a good call. They're legit right now. I'm going it's a loss. I'm going it's 42-21 Kansas State. I think the combination of what's his name? Anderson. I can't remember. Right? Anderson. I can't remember his first name. I think the combination of him and running back, our defense is not going to have an answer for, because I think that combination for Kansas State is better than the combination for Iowa State.
What are we talking about their quarterback?
Yes.
Sunshine, long hair?
we can go with that. Sunshine.
I swear that's what he goes by. That's what they teased it.
I mean, why wouldn't you at that point?
I think it's Johnson. I think his last name is Johnson.
Okay. I don't know what it is.
It doesn't matter. As long as we don't see the back of his jersey running down the field too often where I get to know his last name. But
you're not going to see it run down the field. You're going to hear it on the PA system.
But I think they beat us heavily. 40. I don't know if our defense can even. But I'm going to say 45. We're going to score a little late. 45-31. Okay. You know. So
you're getting it closer than me. I'm thinking they're going to beat us bad. 42-21. I'm thinking they're going to beat us by three touchdowns. So. All right. Well, that's that. I got something to get into real quick.
Yep.
Kind of coming up on a long time here. I don't want to run, men make people bored. So we're going to do my favorite thing. Viewer questions for Lanny that he has no idea what they are.
Let's go.
Yes. Now, we got a couple of them. So unfortunately, not going to get – we got quite a few actually this week, but we don't really
we have can run them. We can run
them. Okay, if we want to try to run, we can run them. We'll run quick.
I'll supermarket sweep this joker.
Okay. So Jeff Ruff, love this guy. Man, he's fun. it's not a question. It's more of a statement. He says it's time to start seriously looking at coaching options.
Who wants $4 million?
I mean, I've been saying that for a little while. I think as long as President Gee is here, which is until next year, Neil's going to be our coach. Here's my thing with this. Lyons and Gee wanted a good church boy coach that wasn't going to drink and isn't going to go to the casinos and doesn't want to live the Playboy lifestyle, because that was the big thing between Lyons and Holgorsen. Lyons didn't like Dana because he lived that kind of life. Okay. I personally don't give a flying rat's rear end what a coach does in his personal time. He's hired to win football games. As long as he's not out here I was going to say getting pulled over for drinking, but damn, that's the first thing. As long as he's not out here committing some serious crimes, I don't care what he does as long as he's winning football games, because that's his job. That's what he's hired to do. But you know what? Hey, Jeff, we got that good boy. We got that good church boy coach that's brought us that good culture that Gee wanted. Guess what? The teams aren't calling us thugs anymore, and our coach is walking a straight line, and he's making all the players walk in a straight line. It's a good culture. It is. It's not a winning culture, clearly, but it's a good culture. That's my thought on it.
You want mine?
If you want. If not, I'll go to the next question.
He'll be here as long as he wants to be.
Probably true.
I believe that. Buckle into him. Neil Brown's not going nowhere. Those who think he is better come up with a lot of pony money. West Virginia's not paid coaches to go away. And, and if that day does come, he's going to say, I'll take my check and tell me which door to go out of, like Coach O did when he left LSU.
Well, that's about right.
And it's one of them things where Neil got to win. But can he? Different story. Nobody really knows from just track record. But anyway, real quick, he's not going nowhere.
He has to have the most favorable contract in college football. He's making a lot of money right now, knows that he really doesn't have to win games right now to freaking get fired. He's laughing the whole way to the bank, but nonetheless. Adam Baum 286 off Twitter asks, is Michael Hayes kicking the kickoff short by design, or is he just not capable of kicking touchbacks consistently? He seems to have trouble with kicking accuracy and power. He seems to have trouble with accuracy and power on kickoffs.
Well, I think you're going to get one or the other out of him. If when it's kicked short, I believe it's on purpose for hang time.
Give the coverage time to get down the field.
To give the coverage time. Because if you get the opportunity, you're almost from what I've seen, a lot of times either guys want to call for a fair catch at the 4-yard line, whatever. But if they realize they're standing at the 4 or 5, they – instinct as an athlete is I can get this to the 25 and give us that 5-yard, advantage or whatever, or even further. But I think, just like anything else, the harder you try to hit it, the more out of control you're going to get with it. So, there you go with he just might not be able to put his full foot into it and then keep the damn thing straight. But I think the short kicks are just by design when they are shorter.
Right. Okay. Fair enough. Big Wheel West Virginia, Big Wheel WV05 says, is Lanny still drinking the Kool-Aid after last night?
Sipping it.
He's sipping it. Yeah, I poured mine out long.
I was way off. I openly admit, hey, when I'm wrong, I will tell you I am wrong. And I was wrong with Iowa State. They're a lot better than what I thought they were.
Hey,
they gave us a scheme that we could not overcome.
Right.
We made mistakes that we could not overcome, and the better team won. They are the better team. Hats off to them for being 6-0 for the first time since 1938 or whatever the hell it was.
To 1940, but to quote our fantastic coach, credit to Iowa State.
Yeah.
We've been hearing that a lot. Credit to Iowa State. Credit to Penn State. Credit to Pitt.
I just hate hearing a coach in general say, "I got to do better." Man, does that runs through me. It's like, you know damn well you got to.
Well,
you know?
Okay, that's all fine and good, and that's a good excuse for a little while. But when you're 6 years in and you're given the exact same excuses you gave on the first year, I think the excuses have worn their welcome out personally. Which, in what you just said, this might be, what you just told me might be the answer to this next question from Ghost 60 exclamation mark point exclamation point. Sorry, Ghost 60 exclamation point. What in this game made your blood pressure spike the most?
Whenever they threw a 12-yard streak pass and our defense didn't react until the fact that, you know, the dude was running was by like, them.
Until he was 5 yards from the end zone.
It seems like that could happen against us at any point in the damn game. A blown coverage.
Yeah.
You know, somebody has to make a play. I mean, it's easy to say. It's easy for me to sit in 107 and say that.
Yeah,
but
it is.
But there was no trickery to it. The ball was snapped. He ran straight up the field, looked back, and hit his hands, and he should have.
No, he had more time than that because that happened right in front of me. He turned around, caught the ball, then turned around, took off to the end zone.
But I'm telling you, like, from what I saw, I mean, there was nobody there. That's when I lost my, you know what I'm saying? I lost my mind. Like, where are you at? And it seemed like all night long, and I don't want to say typical because it's been typical for 35 years. If you've been watching West Virginia football, it seems like anybody we play, the wide receivers catch the ball and they can flinch thinking somebody should be there and they're not. We are constantly 2 yards off the ball.
Yeah, I don't know why.
It just seems that way. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong, but it seems that way.
Right.
And it's like, if you either play man, you know, beat the hell out of them first 2 yards, you can actually put your hands on them. And, you know, I would rather see pass interference, defensive pass interference, than a guy catching a ball open. I would just rather see it. If, hey, man, if you're going to catch it, there ain't nobody catching. I'm taking your arms out. You know, but that was my boiling point early. Yeah.
For me, it was the pick that Green threw because for a while before the first pick, he was throwing in double coverage. And I mean, one almost got picked and I turned around to the people behind us we've been sitting with for the last 12, 13 seasons now. I said, if we keep throwing in, and the lady was like, "You're right." She's like, if we keep throwing into that coverage, he's going to get one. And it was like three plays later, there it was. And I was boiling. And that's when they scored off that and they scored off the other turnover. And then that's when I realized that it's done. It's official. Neil is what he is. Well, so
good teams don't beat themselves.
Right.
You know, well, and good. Iowa State did not help us out at all.
No,
you know,
not at all. Well, so, yeah, good teams don't beat themselves and they don't make mistakes, which right. I guess is a form of beating themselves. So, last question, and let's, you know,
yep.
What do you think of Neil playing an injured center? His hand, obviously, that kept causing bad snaps. Was he the best option or was it another Neil Brown coaching blunder? I think it was another coaching blunder. I think at that point, you got to take the guy out.
My point is, if you can't do your job, somebody else has to do it for you. And
does that go for Neil Brown too?
Yeah, man. If you can't win, buddy, my thing is, like, you know, if you cannot do your job, that you need to be replaced, no matter if you're whatever position you are in, you know.
Right.
And you know, if you're the center, and this is your snapping hand, and your snapping hand's hurt, you're not gonna learn how to do it with your non-dominant hand, you know. So if somebody's healthy, you play the one who's healthy and right. the one capable of doing the job. And, you know, and honestly, as bad as Garrett threw the ball, you know, every snap was on his mind of where is this thing going to be? Is it going to be at my feet or is it going to be through the field goal posts? You know?
Right.
So that's when, you know, I mean, I swear to you, that instantly puts a wrinkle in that play from the very beginning. And I'm not, if you're hurt, or, you know, it's like that old saying, are you hurt or are you injured? Well, if you're injured, you can play. If you're hurt, you need to go to the medical tent. You're out, you know, and if you can't do your job, you can't do your job. You have backups for a reason, unless you do not trust that backup to, you know.
Right. And so, well, maybe, and I think
maybe that was it. Maybe that was it.
Yeah. Maybe,
you know,
maybe Brown doesn't trust the number two center, and maybe Yates said, I can do this. Now, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. But I think at some point, you know, you gotta realize things, and
you gotta cut your losses.
Yeah, know? And you gotta make a change. So
yeah.
All right. Well, hey, that's it for this week, guys. Sorry we ran a little late. I hope you guys hung in there till the end. But you know, we appreciate all you guys listening and participating and stuff like that. We love this stuff. Keep it coming. You know, it's like Landy and I've said, if this thing goes anywhere one day, cool. If not, we're having fun. So with that being said, we're going to get out of here and let y'all hope you guys have a good week.
Saturday, 7:30, K-State, bring it. Let's go. All we can do is cheer, cry, yell, jump up and down, complain. Check us out on Twitter, X, all that. We're all on everything.
All that crap.
Well, if anything, we hope you kept you entertained from ear to ear. Let's go.